beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
I want to welcome all the ministers of God in the house. Thanks for being around. Pastor Billy, you're welcome, sir. I appreciate Barrister, sir, Ekujometa, sir. Thanks for coming around again. Thank you, sir, Pastor, for this privilege. Hallelujah. All right, we don't have much time this evening, so we still have distractions. Can we settle down? Last week, I began to look at building defenses against treachery. And like I said, that will just be the title of what we are going to be doing. And so this evening is building defenses against treachery part two. Amen. All right, so I will just do a little recap, a short recap of some of the things. And I said that basically what we are looking at is deception. Because at the heart of treachery is deception. It's about deception. And we looked at it that the major preoccupation of Satan is to deceive. That has been his first appearance in the scriptures. We saw that in Genesis chapter 3. What he did there was deception. He succeeded in deceiving Eve. And that plunged creation into crisis, you know, while Adam also joined and both of them became transgressors before God. And then I was trying to make us to see that deception talks about, you know, when you say a person is deceived, meaning the person has strayed, the person has wandered from the right path. That's basically the major essence of deception, to make you to wander away, to make you to stray, for you to deviate from right path or from, you know, the instructions and the truth that God has clearly made you to know. There are certain things that at this stage you already know. Truth that God has communicated to us. You know that it is a sin to fornicate. It's a sin as a married person to be involved in adultery. If anybody or any spirit or any epistle or any teacher or any apostle is able to convince you that God is not angry when you do that, that is simple deception. You have been deceived. And we say what deception also means, to believe a lie. That's a lie. Once you have, somebody has been able to succeed in making you believe that it is nothing, God is not angry with it, that's deception. So it's always about leading somebody astray, leaving the right path and take to another wrong path. And then we looked at the why Satan deceives, or what, when deception takes place, what is the resultant effect on us? What happens? And then we saw how it led Eve to transgression, that basically deception always aims at causing you to transgress, causing you to deviate from God's truth to you, causing you to, you know, abandon the path of righteousness, you know, and to encourage people to sin. That's one of the basic essence of you know, of deception, to bring people into sin. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, let's quickly look at that before we continue for today. Ephesians chapter 5, where Paul was saying, all right, is chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither foolish filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know. Look at that. For this you what? You know. For this you know. For this you know. Listen, people talk about truth a lot. Listen, then as the knowledge of the truth is a blessing, and at the same time, it can become a problem for you. Because the more you know, the more liable you are. The more prone to judgment you are. the more prone to guilt you are. There are many things you do that you don't know they are wrong. Do you know you don't feel guilty about them? You just go. But the moment knowledge begins to come, and you are not strengthened to handle knowledge, and some knowledge comes to you, and you stumble, you bring guilt upon yourself. That even leads some people to condemnation. So sometimes when God withholds truth, it's for salvation. Because for every word that comes to you, remember the parable of the sower. It says when temptation arises because of the word. Because of the word. Listen, troubles always go ahead with those things. So when light is coming to you and there is the earth is not prepared to provide a hold, people stumble, they fall into sin. Do you know some people even get condemned and it's, you know, for years, God has to take them back. So he said, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor clean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Next verse. What's the next thing? Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. When anybody begins to make you feel that these things, there's no big deal about them. He said, don't let anybody deceive you. Because what deception will do to you is that it will harden your heart to continue in these things or to do these things. And once that is achieved, the person has strayed. He said, such person cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So deception, many times, it has sin underneath it. So sometimes when people come, perhaps we'll be able to look at the instruments of deception. These are one of them. Vain words. But that's not what we want to look at. We have to understand. We also look at those things, the machinery that Satan uses. This is one of them here. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Hallelujah. So when you see people begin to speak vain words like that, what they are trying to do is they want to weaken your standing. And once they have been able to convince you, you become lackadaisical, and then you begin to flow in some things that before you were not convenient about. Hallelujah. So then we also said that, you know, also what deception does is that it makes us vulnerable. We become to a place where we are open to satanic attack. And then we saw it last year, that before sin came, last week, in Romans chapter 5 verse 12, it said, by one man, sin. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Hello? Sin was an alien. Sin was outside. Adam was within the protection. It was within the covering of God. It was covered. For as long as it stayed there, sin could not even penetrate. Death could not penetrate. All the associated mysteries that are in the world right now could not penetrate. But the moment he opened that word through disobedience, the moment he transgressed the express instruction of God, if through deception, Adam, for whatever cause, following in Eve's transgression, both of them became transgressor, and they opened the door. They like Daddy brought to our attention last week, you know, that scripture. I wanted to get the scripture again, I forgot. Well, I think it's the Ecclesiastes. It says, he that breaketh the edge, serpent will bite. And I told us that many times that the instructions of God, the laws of God for us, are actually like edge. Don't forget what I said. I said it was not God that killed Adam and Eve. The death was in the tree. God wanted to protect them from the death in the tree. That was why God said, don't go to that place. If you go there, there is death there. So it wasn't God that killed them. God didn't kill them. But there was death. That which could kill was in the tree. And God gave them instruction to preserve them and to keep them from that death. But when they sinned, they disobeyed God, and then they made themselves vulnerable to satanic attack. And we are all still subject to that. All the mysteries in the world came by reason of that transaction. Vulnerability. Let me tell you the truth. The earth right now is still very vulnerable. Even Christians, we are still within that vulnerability. Amen. We are still within that vulnerability. The only person that came and has walked the face of the earth that was not in that thing was Christ. Every other man that came was exposed. Only Christ was the one that was able to live. But there is a time is coming that, you know, Jesus said something in Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 from verse 17. Hallelujah. Sorry, tonight I may not be as calm as last week because I have barely 30 minutes more. So you have to just be very fast in your mind with me. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Sorry, what happened to this sound? The sound is sounding. I'm feeling the sound here. It's, the thing is pushing my anointing. Is it the empty? I'm getting some good feedback from the sound here. I like it. Okay, sir. It was not like this last week. Okay, they installed this thing. Maybe it's the one. It's because I'm feeling the... All right. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us to your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Look at it. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. This promise, I don't know. But let me tell you something. For as long as we are still subject to death, we are not walking in the fullness of this promise. Hallelujah. Because what Satan opened, this hurt means to do you wrong. It means to bring damage. It means to cause harm. He said it in Revelation. He said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is what? Is death. This is a loaded scripture. And see, all the things, we are working in these things, but the fullness of this thing, we are yet to walk in. This is my belief. Because when the Bible said, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I don't think Jesus was just saying that because the disciples went out to preach, Satan fell. When a prophet is standing before you and he's saying that, I see Nigeria become one of the greatest nations in the world. Is he saying that is happening now? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. When a prophet is talking, you should be careful the way you respond to it. When Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, he was seeing Revelation 12. He wasn't just talking about, yes, devils cast down and all of those things, but this was more of a revelation that Jesus had. He said, I saw it. He said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall. He saw it. He had a revelation of that thing happening. It may not necessarily mean that it happened, but he saw it. It was a revelation that he put down for us. And which is a reality that is going to happen. Amen. It's a reality that is going to happen. And for me, I believe that it is when we begin to walk in thresholds like this, that's when we begin to talk about coming to a place where we are exempted. If I do know where when you get to the book of Revelation, you now see that things like they say, he shall not be hurt of the second death. It's at the end that they put it. What I'm trying to say in essence is that there was a damage that Adam and Eve created by falling to deception that has created an opening in the world and has brought in all kind of, it has brought in sin, it has brought in death, it has brought in mystery, it has brought in sorrows and all kind of evil. And we are still walking with God so that we can come to a point where we are free from all of those things. You can't claim to be living in a realm where you cannot be hurt if you are still, Jesus didn't fall sick. Amen. Jesus didn't fall sick. It's not just about trying. This is not just trying to be somewhere. This is where you live. That's what we are talking about. For as long as malaria can still hurt you, forget it. I'm not saying we are not progressed, but I'm saying there is a place. It's not just about the world to come. These are reality that he said, I saw it. He said, I give you power. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means, there is no way they will not be able to hurt you. That's serious. Hallelujah. And see, it's not, there are things that are just, there are promises that are also still within the scope of this time. So when you see people like, I'm not saying, but when you see things like, God gave shadows of those things, you saw it in like Peter, I mean Paul being beaten by a snake, and then the thing, it just treat, you know, John the Baptist being thrown into, I mean, John the Beloved being thrown into hot oil, and the thing, God was just giving that these are things you can work, it's possible for you, there's nothing they can devise that can hurt you. Why? Because that edge has been fixed fully. Amen. I don't know why I took so much time to dwell on that. So, we have been vulnerable. Okay, I've mentioned some of the things that I... Now, some of the things this vulnerability brought in from that Romans chapter 5 verse 12 is the issue of sin and death. Is that by one man, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all are sin. There was no sin in the world. When I mean sin, get it right. Not that they didn't commit sin. Sin is not first a commission. Sin is first a principle, is first a nature. It's not first about commission. Many times what we look at is commission. No, it's not first about commission. You cannot commit it except the principle is residing. The principle itself was not resident. It was not in the earth. There was nothing like sin. That nature, that corruption was not in the world. Adam didn't have it. He didn't have it. Like I used to say, Adam wasn't perfect. What does that mean? People look at perfection only in the angle of sinlessness. No. You may be sinless and yet not perfect. What that means is this. You may not have any defect, but you may not have the full feature. I don't know if you get that. Sir? Yes, a newborn baby. No, everything is. But it's not perfect. Do you get it? It's not in the full stature that it can be. So when I say perfection, we're not only saying you don't have sin, but what we're saying is that you don't have the full component of what it be to be a complete man. You may not even have any sin. So Adam didn't have sin. But it didn't have the fullness of what God wants to see in man. In fact, that was a demo. You know what is called a demo? That was just a demo was a demo. That was not the reality. The reality is Christ. That was a demo. And you don't use demo for long. They are for trial periods. Amen. They don't even have the capacity to be used forever. Amen. So, sin came. And when sin came, death came. Those are the things that... Now, let me bring it down here. What is... Do you know that people are being degraded more and more? People are becoming more sinner by the day. You get that context? Meaning that there are people who don't have capacity for some evil today, that in the next 1 year, they can acquire capacity for that evil. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That is, the person is advancing in sin. And that is what deception, even as a Christian, that's why some people, they are Christians, then you wonder that, what has happened to this person? How did this person become like this? It's because that program is still active. And one of the things God is that, God is trying to build us, and at the same time, he's trying to demolish. He's doing two things at the same time. So sin is advancing, sin is increasing outside there. But for us, it's supposed to be advancement in righteousness. Hallelujah. So every time when we open ourselves to deception and allow the enemy to deviate us from the path that God, what it does is that we become weaker. We lose, there is something in us that is tampered with. It's not as if, but you just, Father, but there were people that did not have capacity to lie. But suddenly just, Father, come on, I'm lying. It happens to people. I discovered I lied. Before, I can't. But I lied. Last week, I lied. Check it. It's not a good sign. That's corruption. It means that something in you has become worse. Something in you has become worse. Hallelujah. So sin, when Satan many times is bringing deception, one of the things he's trying to achieve is that he's targeting at something. He wants to introduce a kind of corruption into you. He wants you to sin. Get it? He wants you to sin. I'm not saying he wants you to commit sin, but he wants you to take in a nature that you did not have. Amen. So many times our eyes are on commission of sin. No, it's not just talking about sin. That's why John was telling you, if you say you don't have sin, you lie. He's not saying that you can look at your record and say, the last 1 year, I don't think I committed any sin. There are people like that. But that's a different ballgame. You have sin. It's not about what you did, it's about what you inherited. And that's what God is saying. He said it to say, he said you are lying. He said the truth is not in you. Because if the truth is in you, you will not say it. When Isaiah stood before the glory of God, he said, woe is me. Do you get me? We are talking about a glory that extracts the entirety of you. You see yourself. You see yourself. You can't, that place, there's no hiding. There's no hiding. So it's not so, we're not just talking about commission. We're talking about the fundamental of the nature. And that also, and that is why these issues are important. Little deception. Don't say big deception. Little thing. When you begin to see that your heart is beginning to drift from something, you have to work to restore it. Because you must not, when you entertain it, small thing like this. I think it was that year, I don't know, maybe it was Pastor Dele that told us the story of a pastor's wife, beautiful, wonderful singer, and then maybe it was again that had a vision and saw there was a devil that was outside her and was trying to tell her, you are beautiful, you are this, what are you doing here? Why not go out into the world? And then she will reject it, no. And then after a while, that devil from jumped to her shoulder. And then that shows that the thing was making progress. And then the devil kept, and then she began to consider it. And then after a while, said there was a black spot that was found in her heart. What was it? Just a spot. But the thing began to expand. See, that spot, at that time, as far as God is concerned, she has sinned. Hello? That is sin. You see, that black spot that entered, that was found in her heart, is an alien. That thing is sin. That's why James said, when lust had conceived, it brings forth what? Sin. And when sin is finished, it's dead. And eventually, that woman left the house, and they could not recover. They said she even was even dying. She didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Hallelujah. So so when I'm talking about sin, don't just say maybe you. I'm not just saying about commission alone. I'm talking about Satan wants to affect us. That's why give us 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Just give up from verse 1. Then I will see this, the one I'm looking for. Take it to 2. Take it to 3. And every man that had this hope in him, does what? Purify himself, even as he is pure. This is not the one I'm looking for. There's one that says that, and the wicked one toucheth him not. Maybe he's not here. Sir? Chapter 5. Okay. Okay, it's 18. 1 John 5:18. Thank you very much, sir. 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Hello? But he that is begotten of God does what? Keepeth himself, and that wicked one does what? This touch. This touch. This touch is not just, this is a touch. Look at what he said. He said, whosoever is born of God does not sin. But he that is begotten of God does what? Keepeth himself. Can you see that word? Keepeth, and that wicked one toucheth. That touch is a touch of sin. It's a touch of death. It's a touch of sin. That is to touch means that he won't be able to tamper with you. That is, you will still be whole. It's talking about your holiness. Meaning that when they come to check you, they see, like Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. That's what it means to touch. He, do you know he wanted to touch him? But Jesus did not allow him to touch him. Hallelujah. Alright, so corruption, sin, death, alright. So another thing that, another purpose of deception is when you have a good that Satan wants to take from you. I mean, Satan wants to steal and take advantage of us. It's for stealing or to take advantage, to steal and to take advantage of us. That's the essence of deception, to steal and to take advantage of us. I had one experience. Till tomorrow, I don't really know what that experience led me, but, you know, every time I remember that experience, I wonder, what was really playing out? I was not yet married. I was at home that day. I was praying in tongues at home. But I was not really feeling, it was not a high moment for me. I wasn't really feeling, I was just praying in tongues. I was like, what is this praying in tongues thing? So I wanted to stop. I just turned my back to maybe walk and I don't know, maybe to go and eat or do something. Within a few seconds, I had an experience. I can't explain. It was like, I was in my room. I didn't have visual. I didn't see anything. But I was in a place. All the things happened in my mind. I knew I was before the Lord. I knew Satan was there. And I knew Satan was about to grab something and take it away. I knew. And I heard him talking to the Lord. He does not believe. He doesn't have faith. I'm telling you, Ebenezer. The moment I heard that, I screamed, Lord, I believe. That was what I was just saying. I was in my room. I was shouting, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. I don't know how many times I said that. I didn't even say the name of Jesus. I said, Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I rebuke you. Then I came back from that experience. I didn't know what he wanted to grab. But I knew that there was a position I was taking upon which Satan was accusing me before the Lord. So, he's a stealer, he's a robber. That it comes to rob, it comes to steal. And one of the things he uses is deception. Once he's able to ask, what was the deception I was falling into? Simple. My tongue is not about feeling, it's about faith. I don't know if you understand that. What the scripture says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, that should be sufficient for you to speak in tongues. Whether you feel anointed or you don't feel anointed. But I was already, it's like this thing is not, and I was already moving out. Perhaps God just said, let's have mercy on this young man. That was why I was called back. After that experience, I don't know for how long, but there was an anointing to tongues. As I came back from that experience, I was just flowing tongues for, I don't know, maybe how many minutes or whatever. So Satan always comes to steal. Look at what it says in Luke chapter 4, verse 15. Give us Luke chapter 4, verse 15. Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 15. I hope I didn't get the wrong. Yes, look at, give us 16. Oh, this is this is a bad error. Okay, we should be able to look for it. The temptation of Jesus. Where is it? Is it chapter 4? Sir? Okay, is it? It's also, there's a place where he was saying the glory of this world, it has been delivered to me, something like that. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is what? Who gave Satan the glory of this world? And to whomsoever I will give it. God was not even the one in custody of it. He said the earth, he said he has delivered to the sons of men. So if anybody delivered it to Adam, it's not God. His sons of is Adam. This was not God. God has given this thing. So it was Adam. He said, the devil, all this power will I give thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto what? Unto me. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. He said it has been delivered. It wasn't God. He deceived to take it. That's what they call learning law. You know, he defrauded them. He took that which God gave to them. He stole from them. And you know, sometimes people say that, you know, even though this was what Jesus came for, this was not what Jesus came for. Let me show you. Jesus didn't come for what power? Jesus came for world authority. Don't worry, I just said that to confuse you a little. I will explain. What did Satan say will give it? He said, all this power will I give to you and the glory. But he will still hold the right authority to give it to whosoever he will. Jesus was not coming for it. Jesus wants to be the one that decides who owns it. The difference between Satan say, okay, don't worry, you'll be a world power. But that was not what he came for. That was why after resurrection he said, all exousia. All authority in heaven and on earth has been what? Given to me. Listen, what the church is supposed to fight for. See, our contest is not about being the president. It's about being a Fobaje. Hello? It's about being a Fobaje. I used to tell the story of when I was in school that I was not a prefect. But when it was time to choose the next prefect, I decided the list. No, not as a junior. In my SS, they defrauded me in my SS3. They didn't make me prefect because of unrighteousness. Bad people have been seen everywhere they are. It's everywhere. Of course, I had all the requirements to be a prefect. Now, junior work, I was the best student. I had 12 distinctions all. I was sound academically. In fact, I don't think anybody had had that result until it was after I had it. Then after I started having it. You know, but because they knew I was a Christian, I was a pastor, so they did everything. They didn't make me prefect. I don't have any problem with you. But I was more powerful than any prefect. I told you that we'll do VG. The principal of the school will walk into to come and join us in the VG. In open space. I'm not talking under it all. In open space. Myself and my friends. You know, 16-year-old boys pray. And then you see this old man leave his house 2 a.m. and he's coming to join them to pray. So if I walk to the principal's office, I can have whatever I want. That was the part. That is it. That's what I'm saying. That's why at my level, I can't contest for any political office. So we wait, you come to us. Do you know I believe that thing is a prophecy? I'm telling you. I believe that is a prophecy. I just believe it's a prophecy, that time is coming. And do you know what we did? I just fixed all the Christian guys, fixed all the schools, fixed them as prefects. Fixed them. In fact, the guy that took over for me, I said, you are the chapel, because I was the chapel president. I said, I don't want you to be too busy. I gave, what office did I give him? Special duties. What does special duty do? They don't do anything. Just be special duty. Shall be eating fresh, free food. So, so that if we have the privilege of being a prefect, yet I have nothing to do. You get the gist. So, that was what Jesus was coming for authority. It's not about, it's not, and that was, but look at what Satan, he said, and to whomsoever I will, I what? Give it. So Satan stole, he robbed them. He took that from them. And he's still doing that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's see what is in 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11. Give us 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sake, forgave I it. Ah, KJV. In the person of Christ. Yes, next verse. Lest Satan should get what? An advantage of us. For what? We are not ignorant of his devices. Ah, God, help us to become people like this. Oh, we know his schemes. I know when you know your enemy's schemes. I think the battle is won. There's no way it can come. He said we are not ignorant of his devices. That one is high. He said, lest it should get advantage. That word to get advantage also means to defraud us. He said, lest it defraud us. Lest it cheat us. We don't want to let him have an advantage. We don't want him to defraud us. Deprive us by fraud. This is a fraudulent work here. He said, we know what to do to stop that. So when Satan comes with his wiles and comes with his schemes of deception, some of the things he wants to do is that he wants to steal from us and take advantage of us. And what's supposed to be ours, he will begin to use it for his advantage. And that one of the things he has is the hair advantage that he has now. And that's part of the privilege he has. He took that authority, he took that position, and he's using it. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the hair. God didn't give those things to him. He stole them from Adam through fraud. He tricked Eve. And, they fell into it. Hallelujah. I have just 6 minutes left. Let me quickly. But it's not just about him defrauding us. There's something it also causes to us. We lose our estate. We lose our estate. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. Genesis 3, 23 and 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Yes? So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. I'm talking about estate. I'm talking about your location, where God has placed you, where God has put you. I'm not talking about physical, I'm talking about, all this, the Garden of Eden was a confluence of both spiritual and physical, everything was there together. That kind of thing. A place where God has put you, where his allocation of blessings for you spiritually and soul and physical, everything is there. When by deception, when we fall to see that many times, it's not Satan that will do that. That is God's reaction to it. There's a driving out. The truth is that God has driven many people out of where he places them, out of their calling. Out of anointings, out of graces, out of many other things where God has things they have been enjoying. Then when the session comes and then God says, no, you are not fit to continue to stay here because you will turn into evil. Hello? Grace in the hands of a wicked man. Ah. It's trouble. It's trouble. He said, let them eat of the tree of life and do what? And live forever. These people will go beyond redemption. So we lose estate when... So that's one of the things Satan... Why? Because that is even a problem for him. They being in the Garden of Eden is problem for Satan. So what he's looking at, he wants you to lose that grace. He wants you to lose that anointing. He wants you to lose, you know, he wants you to lose that word. And he's going to do anything to make sure that God himself will drive you out. Listen, when Balaam could not curse the children of Israel, what did he do? He said, don't worry. He taught Balak a wisdom that turned their God against them. And God himself came to kill them. 23,000 fell in one day. And it's still deception. Because like we see, one of the instruments of deception is seduction. So it's still, so when you're talking about seduction, it's still, and God himself came to kill 23,000. So we lose our estate when we allow ourselves to be opened, when we allow deception to have a hold. We have to fight it. We have to ensure that we stay with God. The truth that you have held, you must hold it to the end. He said God drove them out to go and till the ground from whence it was taken. Look at that demotion. Look at that demotion. Fell down. He started, became an agriculturist. The ground from whence he came. It means the ground in Eden was not from the whence he came. Hello? Was he not told to till in Eden? So the tilling in Eden is different from the tilling outside. Hallelujah. There are certain things you are not supposed to labor for. They are supposed to be provision that comes with where you are. That was why Jesus was now saying, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things men are tilling will be added unto you. Hallelujah. We should not lose our heads. Listen, these are our spiritual heritage. There are a lot of things it brings with it. Keep it. Hallelujah. Keep it. We are not men of the world. We are not men of the world. We are not supposed to live like them. We are not supposed to strive. We are not supposed to... I don't even like the word hustle. I wanted to say we are not supposed to hustle like them. I don't even like the word hustle. We are... You get it? It's not supposed to be like that. I'm not saying you are not going to walk. You are going to walk. But listen, even walk, you must understand walk. Ah, when Paul said that he that does not walk must not eat, it's not everybody that walks in the kitchen. So not all people touch the food. Will you say because the gardener is not the chef, he will not eat? It is your own specification of walk. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Not everybody will provide the food. Some people will provide the food, some people will secure the house. So he who is providing the food cannot say the food belongs to me. So if you are providing the food, it's not for you alone. I hope you get that well. That you are providing the food, that you are the farmer does not mean the food is for you. In fact, you don't even have a right. I'm talking about in a house. I'm not talking you as a farmer working for yourself. I'm saying in a house, you are part of the people that works in the farm. As you are working in the farm and you are bringing the food, some people are also doing other things in that house that doesn't have anything to do. When it's time to eat, everybody eats on what is prepared for all. They are all workers. So when Paul said that does not work, must not eat, understand what he was saying. His work may not be your own kind of work. There's no... what can I do with 10 seconds? Use it. Okay, let me end this part today. One of the things that happens is that we get disqualified and we are made unworthy. Romans 3:23. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. For all have what? Sinned. And does what? Come short. Come what? Short. Come short of the glory. Meaning that you come, you have now lacking. You don't have the requirement. You are not fit for God's glory. They all have sinned and come short. They fell. They came short. They become lacking. They didn't meet up with the requirement for God's glory. So this is one of the things that happened. So when deception is coming, it's not even only about your estate alone. It's also about even your calling and God's plans and the things God has in store. Because listen, God will not just bless you because he has to bless you. There are certain things God will not bring you into until you are qualified for it. It's what that will make you qualified. Of course. It's what that will make you qualified. But what I'm saying, look at, don't open it. 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, if these things be you and abound, he said that they will make you that you not be lacking. Then he now said that, he said, do your best to make your calling and what? Election sure. Make it sure. It's our duty. So when somebody tell you that once saved, forever saved, well, I don't understand. But one thing I know is this. He says I have to make something what? Sure. Meaning if I don't make it sure, I can lose it. So meaning that the fact that God has called someone and he has chosen the person, that person has to make sure that thing is what? Is firm. We saw it last week that Satan will even try to deceive the elect. He will even try to deceive the very elect. So when Satan is pushing deception, watch it. There's a glory that is supposed to be taken. There's a calling that somebody is supposed to enter. There is an anointing that you are supposed to enter. That is what he wants to disqualify the person and make the person unworthy. What the Paul told him, he said, do your best. To 2 Timothy 2:19, how did he say again? Study to make yourself what? Study to show yourself what? Approved. He said, study to show yourself what? Approved unto God. So there can be disapproval. God can disapprove a man. And say, no, you are not fit for this. You are not worthy for this. I pray God will help us. Next time we have privilege, we'll take it further from there. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Ogi. Can you please appreciate him more? Thank you very, very much. Hallelujah. Well, do we have questions? So you want me to do... Okay, Pastor, okay. Thank you for calling my... Because I want to do rounding up.
Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Ogi, I appreciate you. I have a comment to make, and I have a question to ask. What I have seen in what you said is opening up some controversial truth. And it's also good for us to ponder on those things so that we can bring a clear understanding unto all of us. For example, in the book of Luke 10, that you open up, Luke 10, verse 17. Can you quickly give us the scripture? He said, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devil are subject unto us. True. Why are you causing confusion? Unto us, through thy name. Verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Yeah, one of the things you said is that statement is prophetic, but that prophecy was fulfilled when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, because he said it is finished. And at that particular point in time, Satan has actually fell. Praise God. Then in the same scripture, verse 19, there's other things. that I want to say. He said, behold, I've given you authority and power to trample upon serpent and scorpion and physical. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpent and scorpion and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise God. I think that was a fundamental statement of truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has made. And if we say that it is not so, then the scripture is incomplete. First and foremost, I want us to understand what Paul was talking about in the area of sin and death. When God gave them law, the law that he gave unto them is for life. It's not as if they don't have the capacity to keep the law, but because he wants to show to them that they are actually rebellious. So, with this scripture again, it also emphasizes about the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ and the extent of our belief system in that lordship. Because the more of the belief you hold on the lordship of Jesus Christ, because he said, Jesus is the Lord over all things. Especially when you go to the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. He was talking about the lordship of Jesus Christ, that in that lordship, all things must bow. So I want to submit that the issue of ought may not directly become a ought to them that are in Christ. Paul was ought, but he didn't see it as ought. As a matter of fact, they rejoice at persecution. They look at it, oh yes. There are many things that will happen to us that when we have come into the fullness of this knowledge, and we will not be afraid to die for him. So even when they say, I read a lot of books about the persecution in the 18th century, and I discovered that many of them, that they were burned with fire, they rejoice in that day. They didn't see it as odd. So when he's saying that nothing shall by any means hurt you, I think he meant what he said. The Lord Jesus Christ meant what he said. But most importantly, it has to do with our belief system. Like I was saying, when the Bible talk about, when in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, and said, have dominion, replenish this and that and so on and so forth. We still see some people who are not saved, yet they have dominion over certain things, but not in all things. The same thing with us. If we hold our faith on certain things, we can have dominion over it. But if you don't have dominion, for example, you give yourself as an example. When you are speaking in tongues, you say, this tongue says. And immediately accusation come. Whereas what the tongues you are speaking was actually from the heaven. And accusation come. So the issue of this has to do with our belief system in that name and in his lordship. Once we believe it, if I believe that, I will not be hurt. If you walk, especially when I walk in it, the Bible says that when your obedience is complete. So I think we shouldn't see this as prophetic. We should see it as reality. Praise God. Hallelujah. My question. In the book of 1 John, the John that you ask, you talk about the begotten and born of God. I want you to explain to us, because the difference between the two is large. He said so. He gave us that scripture. No, today. He gave us the scripture. I follow your teaching. You are, yes. Let me ask my question. You understand. You remember, okay, this is it. He said, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. You emphasize on the word touch. Now I want you to differentiate between the difference between the begotten and born of God. Praise God. Because we want to know why one could not be touched and so on and so forth. Thank you.
That is the only thing. What I want to say is that
is the scope of this. Maybe I will step in. This one, because it's basically explaining the same person. He who is born of God does not sin. That person keepeth himself. It's simple. It's not as if there are two different experiences. Are you with me? There are not two experiences. You are born of God. And he who is begotten of God, he will keep himself. And you see, I believe in responsible Christianity. One of the things that once we forever save is done is that he has made many Christians irresponsible. I'm frivolous. Thank you, sir. And when I listen to the Western media, and not even media, I've had calls to go for some international conferences, I've had calls to do online conferences, and I can see that thing seeping in, where they are talking about globalization. And they're like, I'm coming, for example, you have come from Hausa land to Yoruba land, and all of us are Yoruba, and they want me to be sensitive to your feelings. How do I know you are from Hausa land? I don't know your culture. You are coming to my environment. Well, why are you going to be holding me down? When I talk about leadership, they say you must listen to others, democratize vision. Then you can lead. Then why are you a leader? That you cannot be the one to craft the vision and others follow. But they want us to always do everything together. And you can now see that in the present American system, where they pick Joe Biden and put a radical woman beside him. So it's going to be a caucus like Nigeria ruling the whole country. So whatever the caucus says, the cabal, that's what they want to do. Because they feel a strong leader should not be the one talking. All of us should be contributing. You can't lead a country like that. You can't craft a vision like that. Because where there is no vision, the people will perish. But they are turning the word of God upside down. So this is a subtle deception that is playing out in the spheres of the world. In leadership, it's playing out. In all corporation, it's playing out. I was talking to my cousin. I was chatting with my cousin this morning. I was talking to Abisola. He was saying, was mentioning names of CEOs and the mayors, Indians, what they've done. Say, what have you guys, your Christianity, done in Nigeria? I said, at death, those things mean nothing. For it is written, what shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Yeah, more better, so. Oh, okay, I don't need salvation. I said, it's also written. He just abandoned the discussion this morning and went his way. I'm waiting for him. Deception, Orishishilowa. Orishishi, different types of deception. So, you must be responsible. Yes, God has done his part, but you must know how to keep yourself. That scripture that Pastor referred to, Paul said, for we are not ignorant. And this is one of the major problems in Christianity. Many don't know Satan. So people tell you, we don't preach, we don't talk about Satan. Then you are an idiot if you don't talk about Satan. Because the Bible said so much about him. And they didn't put that information there because they are not spiritual. You can't be more spiritual than the people that wrote the Bible or than the Holy Ghost. Who put that information there? So you must know. So Paul said we know him. And for that reason, we refuse to be deceived. But many of you don't know him. I read one book by E.M. Bonds. He said of Satan, he said if there's anybody we need to copy, say we should copy Satan. And I was like, that first statement was like, are you kidding me? And when he began to speak about, he was not elogizing it, he was declaring his nature. He said Satan does not give up. Even with all the temptations, everything he has done with Jesus, even on the cross, he still came back to still attack him. He doesn't fear anybody. With all your anointing, he doesn't respect it. So So he's a formidable foe that you must understand how to defeat him. And knowing him very well is the first step to dealing with him. So Paul said we are not ignorant of his devices. You can't afford to be ignorant of his devices. And he has showed us this evening the things that Satan is trying to take advantage of. He's taking advantage, he'll take advantage of our ignorance. He'll take advantage of the fact that, and it's always like that. It's always our ignorance. And I always said it here before. If knowledge made Adam and Eve to fall, it will take knowledge to make you and I to stand. It's knowledge. Knowledge. And like Pastor said at the beginning, once you have information, your cases, you cannot argue your case out. You must really, really know how to handle the information. No, and I've written in one of my books that the school system in Nigeria is affecting many of us. In our school system, we are allowed to read because an exam is coming. Many of you will not read Bible except you're in trouble. Even when you're in trouble, you don't have time. You must look for somebody who has read his own Bible. See, you understand? We caught it from where? Who will give you the information and start quoting promises to you? Because you don't know. And woe betide you if you don't have anybody around that can help you. Your case is bad. Of course, you will go and meet Babalawo. Who will say, Wetabajasa, what? The one we put in the left, that one is quick. It's all be our portion in Jesus' name. There was this thing that Pastor finally said about glory, and I think we're going to need to pray about that. Of course, you want to address Shea Pastor? Okay,
I will not even try to say that a statement Jesus makes is not valid. When Jesus says that I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you, Jesus said that. And that is the truth. We can't negotiate it. We are not saying that it's not true. But one thing we have to understand about spiritual experiences, and sometimes these are the things that give new Christian reality people problems. Like I was saying it at the beginning, that a baby may not have any defect, but it's not perfect. It's not fully grown. The truth is that there are certain things as I am now, I can't believe them. I don't have the cap, because belief is not just in my mind saying I agree. Belief is a strong, it's a conviction. That's why they always say it's heart. You know that they don't attach belief to mind. With the heart, man what? Believe. I've never seen a play where they say people believe with their mind. Because it's not about reasoning. Intellectual faith, like that is to say, at the foundation of faith is an understanding. But if you leave it here, that's why people like Wole Soyinka cannot believe. If it is at that realm, they can't. They can't. There are some things now that if I try to believe, I can't believe. It's not because of anything. Listen, this speaker, Samuel can carry this speaker. This Samuel Dayola can carry this speaker. But when I say Samuel, you can carry this speaker. I'm not looking at Samuel now. I'm looking at Samuel some years ahead. I know that when he grows, you'll be able to carry. But I can't tell Samuel to come and carry this speaker. He cannot. In him is the capacity to do it. But he has to measure up to that capacity one day and carry it. He has to grow up to a place where he can be able to. So sometimes when Christ is speaking to us, he's talking beyond now. He's talking about what this program and the things that he has already ordained that you are going to. But if I want to step out on based on that thing and I say I want to begin to do it, I will fail. That does not mean that word is not valid. That word is valid. There is nothing I'm doing now that my children in the future will not be able to, except the ones that are man's thing. But one day, if I look at them now, there are some things you can't even teach them. They don't have the capacity. But as they are growing, they'll be able to pick as those children have. Now, they know there are two brushes. If you give the miracle's mother's toothbrush, she won't take it from you. She will tell you she will not. She knows her own. She knows her chair. Their mom was sitting on the chair I used to sit. Yeah, I sit there more. They told her to stand up. This is daddy's chair. At their level. Those are the things they can relate with. But the time is coming, they will handle calculus, they will handle all those things, and they will drive. I've learned that one. Once I will teach them myself before they go and bash the things before I make. So I'm not saying Jesus' statement is not valid. It's very valid. But what I'm saying is that we have to grow and be able to fit into that thing. Excellent. A seed can, I can take orange from an orange seed, but there's no orange in an orange seed. If I don't plant it and it grows and I wait for it, then I can pluck. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor D, you are here. I didn't know. I'd given up that you are not coming today. Praise God. Okay, Pastor D, hold on. There is Pastor Bolu. I see you. I greet you. Man of God, I like this suit too. I told you. I said you come and teach me how to dress and dance. Oh yeah, bro. He didn't mention it today. You are the one saying your own, no? Not today. You are the one. More scriptures to read. You need to be accurate. It's a requirement in the spirit. So why are you still making mistake? Is the problem with the truth? You see, you are looking at that promise that if you say you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, yet we see it not that happening. KJV. What we see it is that you are misbehaving. You don't know the truth near.
So you are lying.
You are the one that says, let God be true. And all men liars. If the word have said you will know the truth will.
So he said it means that you have been deceived. But there is a knowledge.
Your question is that he said, the more you know, the more your liability. Now, the simple inference from that is your judgment is based on your maturity. If you know a lot, then you should also walk in the truth. Now, if you know the truth and you allow deception, the treachery of the enemy to divert you from the truth, your condemnation becomes stronger. That's what you are inferring. Now, you said the knowledge of the truth is not the same as the knowledge of facts. Now, you can approach the Bible as a record of facts. Now, you can believe facts with your mind. So the judge asks you in court, witness, give evidence. I verily believe with your mind. But when it comes to this truth that makes free, it's processed by faith. You understand? Connect the dots together. Time is going.
Pastor D.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Actually, I've been following from online.
Thank
before
you.
Before I came
physically. Show the person asking question.
I think just to, in a way, buttress what
well, show just the, where there are people there. Show where we have plenty of people.
If we look at that scripture that about Jesus giving power. Because when we also look at these scriptures, sometimes we look at these scriptures generically. We don't look at them sometimes based on the situation and circumstance. Then he was sending them out to go and preach, if I'm correct. He was sending them out to go and preach. And then he said, I give you power. They came back to give a report. But there was at other times, they couldn't even exhibit that same power he said he gave them. Because in Matthew 17, we saw that when he came down from the mount, there was a man that brought his child. And the same people that Jesus said had given you power couldn't cast out that devil. And Jesus now had to tell them, "Ile itun yato." "Ile itun yato." This kind. Yeah, he first upbraided them for their unbelief. He now said, "How be it?" Even if "how be it" means,
however.
Betty Egbagbo, Lorele. This type has a dimension to it. It does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And it's still based on knowledge. But trusting the fact that as we go, and thank God that when he resurrected and he was living, he now told us, he said, "You will take up serpents, you will drink poisons," and all that. And I those experiences, he says, those experiences are going to follow us. And I think sometimes we don't even know when it is anointing that we are talking about. Sometimes it's anointing that comes, works, and as at other time, the thing you try to work it, the thing is not
working.
It's not working. That's why we're encouraged to build relationship. And that's why many people also fall to deception. Because if for any reason that anointing is withdrawn, and you that laid hands on somebody today and he walked, a layman walked, you laid hands on somebody today, baptism in the Holy Ghost happened, and somehow God just, for his own reasons, holds back that thing, and you still feel like...
Like Samson.
This thing is supposed to work. Whether you like it or not, it's either you begin to fabricate your own, or you go to look for extra help. And I think this thing is based on relationships and all that. We should also know when it is anointing that is at work. We should know also when it is this life that has begun to find expression. I think this teaching is very important because seriously, in areas of our lives, we have found out that certain things worked at some point and at certain times, they did not work. And these are questions that we are still asking till tomorrow. That how does this thing...
Research.
What was the dynamics behind it?
Research continues.
And research continues. Hallelujah. Yeah,
research continues. Praise the Lord.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.